Welcome back to RoomPak's Res Ed Chat podcast. This podcast series is a digital variety hour of presentations, webinars, and interviews on topics of interest to residence life and education professionals. We have a number of different great, exciting topics coming to you in the future, and I'm really pleased today to welcome Quan Phan, who is the LGBTQ program coordinator and advisor at the University of Oklahoma in the Gender and Equality Center. A good friend of mine. Welcome, Quan. So good to see you.
So good to see you too, Paul.
Awesome. Well, one of the reasons why I wanted to invite you on the podcast today is you do a lot of really cool design work. You know, I have some history with design and things like that, but I mean, you are a true designer. You can draw it, you can put it together. You know, you are right up there with people that are more expertly trained in doing this kind of work. And I know you also integrate it with your practice in student affairs, and formerly in housing and residence life, which is where you used to work. And that's kind of what I wanted to talk to you about today. Can you tell us some of the things that maybe you've worked on in the past or done where you've done some design work for housing and residence life, or even in the work that you do now?
Yeah, for sure. So one of the main things that I've worked on is that I have made a little booklet called 20 Plus Theories that I've learned in grad school. Yes, that book. Thank you, Paul.
For those of you listening, I'm holding up the book here. It's a little cute design book that has all the different theories in it.
Yes, and mostly so the origin story for that is that I went home, back home to Vietnam, and I, you know, like, and I have been able to have a lot of colleagues who might not have background in higher education, but they have a lot of other experience. A lot of my friends are from therapy background, who have trained me on like a lot of like different like interpersonal skills and things like that to kind of have talking to our student and things like that. I've learned a lot from them. And after some conversation, they kind of talk about like, oh, like sometimes when we talk about higher ed things, like they feel a little bit lost and they feel kind out of place and things like that. So I went over the break. I was like, well, like, you know, like, and I've told them so many times that like, oh, like it's something that like, it's not something wildly difficult to understand or comprehend. A lot of it just like, you know, some having able to have the language to kind of communicate and talk about these things. So I have made a little booklet with illustration just to kind of help getting people interested and have some kind of like baseline understanding and language to kind of talk about these theories. And it never meant to serve as like, hey, here's, you know, the entire work of self-authorship in like, you know, a spread. But I hope that based on the design, based on the book, people are more interested to learn more about the book while have like somewhat of like a foundational understanding of what those theories are to kind of, you know, approach their work and maybe learn more in the future.
Yeah. I love that because I, you know, the use of visuals and design can really enhance learning, right? And I think some of our listeners may also be familiar with the work you did with us on the curriculum workbook, right? Which actually is the very similar thing in terms of concept, right? Of taking something that's more complex, how do I enact a residential curriculum? And trying to break it down into something that's more easily digestible and then using visuals to enhance that kind of understanding.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah. And I'll put a link to that in the show notes too, if folks want to kind of check that out, check out some of Quan's work, but also something I think that could help them as well. What are some of the other things that you've been working on lately? I follow you on social media. And so I see different designs pop up here and there.
Yeah, for sure. So March is Women History Month. So I have made a 30-day series just to kind of like honoring the work of like different women's have done and their contribution and their. It started when I was a graduate student in 2017. That was right after President Trump got elected. And, you know, like I I've considered myself a feminist for a while. At that time, there was also a movie come out called Hidden Figures. And I, at that time, kind of asked myself, like, okay, do I know any feminist figures that are, you know, not, that I don't know from pop culture that identify as Black, Indigenous, or people of color, and also potentially not straight and cisgender? And like, I couldn't come up with any at that time. So I, at that time, I kind of realized that, like, oh, I need to do the work, and I need to kind of like understanding more of, you know, their stories and learn more about the histories and things like that. So that's why I started. I raised money for our Women Resource Center at the time, $3,000, just to kind of just sell prints and things like that. This year, I kind of just kind of raised our money for our center in general, just to kind of, you know, a celebratory, and also just to kind of, a lot of people every year just kind of ask me of like, hey, when is the next thing come out? So I think it's a good opportunity for us to kind of, again, giving people, like the people who might not know these people are, a chance to kind of get to know them in like a more through like an inspirational way, but also for me too. Any of the time that I have paint a person, so for example, Chanel Miller is one of the person that that I have chosen to be one of the 30 women, and I've listened to her statement and things like that, to just to kind of like know their stories, or listen to like a podcast about them, to hear, listening them talk and listen to their narrative. And that's when I picked the quote that they have talked in those interviews or in the podcast that I have picked. So that we kind of know them, because unfortunately with Chanel Miller, we just have recently an event that we kind of have her on. And when advertising for student, we're like, hey, Chanel Miller is coming to campus. We're having an event that Chanel Miller is talking. And people was like, who is that? And we was like, well, Brock Turner, rape victim. And they're like, oh. And we're just like, well, you know, her book is literally saying, know my name.
She's, you know, more than that, right? What they know this person as is there should be more.
Yes, there should be more. Like, people should know her not by association with a rapist. So that's also one of the reasons why I think it's important for me and other people to kind of, you know, have this opportunity to kind of learn more about the stories and the narrative of these inspiring women.
Yeah, I love that, because especially with how students today consume media, you know, and we're talking about Instagram, we're talking about TikTok and things like that, that quotes from folks, you know, visuals help. You know, they don't go all the way, right? There's still more work that someone, you're hoping you're piquing an interest to get them to research more or to engage more or things like that. But that can be a really powerful tool in kind of bringing that forward. I have a favorite of mine, of yours, which is Marsha P. Johnson. That is my absolute favorite, but we all make this podcast about Marsha, but that's my absolute favorite one. But what have you found in terms of like your incorporating your design abilities into your work with students? What's some of the impact of that? What is their reaction? What have been your successes? What are areas where you're like, oh, I learned something from that?
Yeah, I think incorporating design in co-curricular learning is important. One thing is that our student, we're living in a world where we have to competing for student attention all the time, right? Like, we have to kind of, and student attention span may or may not have, you know, like you have to get student attention and have to keep them for a while because of all of the noise, all of the things that they're exposed to. So, you know, a TikTok is 1 minute and you better keep it engaging or they can just scroll it right by, right? Same thing with Instagram. And that's how students are consuming knowledge now. a year ago when, you know, with the murder of George Floyd and a lot of like racial justice content start to happen, when I talk to students, students say, oh, I've read this thing on Instagram and I've learned about this snippet about the information, or I keep updated with the trial and things like that through social media. And that's how they engage in social justice work. They engage in coalition building. They educate themselves through social media. So that's one thing that I think, and because the nature of the, all of those media are so visual based, I think it's important for us as educators to kind of take into consideration of those as well. How do we present information? Is it accessible? The information we might find interesting, but the student scrolling through Instagram might not know that. And so how to captivate student attention. And also, that's one function of graphic, but I think it's also helpful to kind of illustrate what you're talking about. So there's a vast amount of research saying that, visual learning and text learning go hand in hand together really well. So if you have a graphic to kind of illustrate what you're talking about, really help a learner to kind of enhance their understanding. And it's go to multiple level. If you kind of illustrate them, here's what you're talking about, that's great. But you can also use like a metaphorical kind of graphic that take them through multiple form of learning, that kind of in like the, you know, learning psychology process in their brain, that they have to go through multiple loop of learning, understanding different kind of content and kind of sew them together. So I think that it's, I think the majority of the people kind of talk about it in terms of like, here's an engaging material, but we also need to take into consideration of like, no, it's a teaching tool that people can certainly use to enhance the language, to enhance the material that people are asking our student to engage in.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You make me think of, you know, certain kind of like images that pop up over and over again, especially I see on social media. So there's one I think that's fairly well known. I'll include a link to it again also in the show notes too, that talks about equity versus equality, and it's people watching a baseball game, right?
Yeah.
Of varying heights, and like, what, you know, showing the difference between the terms by like a visual, like here they are all trying to watch the game over a fence and one can't see it, here standing on boxes, etc., and things like that, to try to like break it down into a metaphor that makes it much easier to understand. I know some people have had some quibbles with the way that metaphor was put together, but I think the idea of using a metaphor and visually representing it makes it so much more accessible as a concept, right?
Yeah.
That it's really, I mean, it takes someone really smart, well attuned to teaching to figure out how can I take this complex thing and break it down into a way that almost anyone can more immediately approach and grasp pretty quickly. Like that's what you made me think of when you were talking about that.
Yeah, no, for sure, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, I love that. The other thing you made me think about too was competing for student time. So I used to do this more, I do it less now, but I used to talk about social media and tech and engaging with college students. And one of the things I would frequently say is, competition for student time is different than it was when I was in college, right? When I was in college, there was no social media. There was, I'd say, barely an internet at that point. certainly not the type of internet that we know today. So I was a captive audience, right? I would see bulletin boards. People would also send like silent voicemails. And so we'd get it in our voicemail box and our landlines on campus. And that was how they would announce things. And there was just, it was much easier to create a poster, put it up, and it would have a broader impact. Now I feel like you still need to create posters, but it's also competing with all these other spaces for messages and things like that. And so, if you had to give some folks some advice on how to try to cut through that noise, kind of concept of signal to noise ratio comes to mind, but how can they use some of these tools in a way that is more impactful? What kind of advice would you give them?
So I think one of my advice is that getting, thinking like you're a student is the first part. One of the design principle is that how are our customer kind of consume this media. So, you know, like think like, will student be engaged with this material? Is this material engaging? What are all the materials are existing on our campus, on social media and things like that. There are design trends and things like that that you can follow, and their website that kind of make design more intuitive for people who don't have background in design, like Canva and things like that, that can certainly help. But I think a main thing is that how are we being more, just like any other strategy, how are we being intentional in the way that we approach in designing? And anybody can throw some graphic on Canva, but how do we take it to another step? Whether it's editing our language, editing the image, or putting it in a different, interesting format. I think Canva now also have opportunity for people to like kind of create like a short videos or some like moving graphic and things like that, motion graphics. And I think that's also an opportunity that we have kind of remained untapped. Like I've seen a lot of videos recently in my work. We have got to release a lot of short videos about like 2 to 3 minutes long about different topics. So we talk about ball culture and things like that. And a lot of people were engaging with it. And it's basically the same concept as like a TED Ed or like a Vox video talking about different issues. And I think it's important for us to kind of take into those media into consideration of how we just kind of disseminate our knowledge to our student if they're choosing to engage that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also too, one thing I think that can sometimes be a barrier for people to understanding the potential power of this kind of stuff is the idea that it's an add-on. Oh, we're doing this, so we have to do this extra. Rather than, I think as the curricular approach would teach us, there's a lot of different strategies you can use to educate your students. It doesn't always have to be a program. Producing a series of short videos and placing those around and having students watch them is essentially like a program. It could replace a program. It doesn't have to be the extra, right? It can be, quote unquote, the program that you're doing this kind of engagement. And it's a different way of engaging students, and you might reach students that you wouldn't normally reach. So the students who wouldn't go to a program might be the ones that would be more apt to watch this kind of video that's get shared around, right?
And it's just a
much more modern way of kind of viewing engagement with students.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that one nice thing is that it provides you assessment data to be like, if you post a video on social media, it literally tell you how many views and how many click. So I know that assessment has always been something that we are struggling with as student affairs and can kind of measure student engagement in that way. But it literally gives you the number. And I think it's also, like you said, it's and like most people think of like, oh, graphic design is like, can you make this poster? Rather than using it as like an actual teaching tool for like social norm campaign or like, you know, things like that to kind of teach our student through social media and things like that too.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's honestly where we're headed in terms of kind of revolutionizing our work. I think it's always difficult too. And I found this myself, or when I've been talking about technology, is the people who are administrators are not the people who were socialized with these things growing up, right? So some folks would call this like a digital native, digital immigrant kind of divide, meaning the immigrants are the ones, the older folk that are coming to it later versus the natives are the ones that grew up with it. I find that to be a little bit of a false dichotomy, but I think it does mean that you might think about things differently and you have to, you know, expose yourself to technology and the possibilities of it differently maybe than you had in the past.
Yeah, for sure. And I think of that too, of like allocating resources. I know that not everybody have resources to hire have like a marketing team and things like that to kind of pump out content. But maybe it's a way that you can kind of restructuring your approach and your strategies to be like, well, if a program, your annual program hasn't been working, would it work in this concept and in this format? And is it worth investing in someone, right? Just to kind of like doing this work for your program center, et cetera.
Yeah. Yeah. Can we take our pizza money from this program that's no longer working and put it towards maybe a higher quality video production or visual design or things like that?
Yes.
I think I'd also encourage folks as well, because the quality, I think, of the visuals also matters. Like, you want it to really catch attention. And so, like, you need someone who has an artist sensibility really to kind of do that work. And it can be very expensive. But if you're on a college campus, you've probably got a number of students who are pretty freaking talented, right? In a number of these areas, maybe even certain majors or things like that, that could also present a really great way to pay a student, engage a student on something, work with a faculty member who might want to incorporate it as a project as part of a class or something like that. That can be a really other powerful way of getting this kind of content when you don't necessarily have the means to hire a top dollar designer to do it for you.
Yeah, for sure. Our center and the Gender Equality Center create internship for a student just to kind of get to build their portfolios and also compensate for their time to kind of get to produce these work. And the student, in the past, they already tried to involve with us in the past. I was an intern, a graphic design intern for the Gender Equality Center. And because I believe in the mission and believe in the work. So, but now we get to, you know, build a platform that and students learn all the time by, like, when I design things for other people or other, you know, educational things, like, I have to read and I have to understand and got to collaborate in that process. And I've learned a lot, and our students have learned a lot about different things, about different subjects that we're trying to educate our students to. So it's definitely an educational opportunity to engage, a different way to kind of engage our student as well.
Yeah. We bring in that double learning right there. So not only are you helping educate students with the visuals, but then you're providing a learning opportunity in the creation of it in the first place. I love it.
Yes, for sure.
I love it. Well, thanks so much, Quan. I really appreciate it. I always enjoy talking to you and seeing your smiling face. It's been a while since we've seen each other in person, so I hope that will be again someday soon, probably at the Institute on the Curricular Approach.
Yes, I hope so. I miss all of the people that I've get to meet at ICA.
I completely understand. I think there's a mutual hug in the future. We'll go with that.
Yes, for sure.
All right. Thanks, Quan. And for everyone, check out our show notes. I'll include a lot of the links to some of the things that we discussed here. And check us out on any of the major podcast platforms. Thanks, everyone.